Hello, and welcome back to the ongoing discussion we are having about the unique callings God has given to us as men and women in his world. This week, we're looking at the spiritual gifts God has given to us, the sameness of those gifts, in that they come from the same God and Lord, and how that same God and Lord gives unique gifts to us as men and women, and then how those gifts play out into the callings God has given to us. Just a quick reminder of how this all works. Each week, we're sending out two emails. The first email is shorter and takes a closer look at some aspect of the principle God has given to us in his word about the unique callings. The second email is a bit longer and looks at how that aspect of the principle might play out in the world then. After reading each of the email devotions, join us here as we dig into and discuss the principle and application a bit more. As far as introductions, I am Pastor Ben Kratz, and I serve as a pastor at Our Savior Lutheran Church in Birmingham, Alabama, and have the privilege of serving as one of the pastoral advisors for the Wells Women's Ministry Committee. Joining me again are a number of members of the executive team of the Women's Ministry Committee, and maybe as you introduce yourself today, share one place on your bucket list you'd like to travel to. For me, I actually managed to knock one off this summer as my family visited Yellowstone National Park. I've been there before, but never with my family. So that was a lot of fun. And if you want future bucket lists, you can just go down the list of national parks. So if you want, go around and share not only your name, but a place that you want to visit before you get to heaven.
Hello, I'm Naomi Schmidt. And if I had a choice, I would go to Patagonia. I have some friends that have been there and seen pictures, and it looks incredibly beautiful. And I think it'd be great to go.
My name is Dawn, and I am pretty much partial to any place that has mountains. I would love to get to Alaska or back to the Swiss Alps or New Zealand. Hiking and climbing and viewing from heights is just something I absolutely love.
I'm Christy Meyer, and on my bucket list is the Redwood Forests of California. I've been out to California before, northern and southern both, but I haven't hit the Redwood Forests, and I would love to see the beauty and majesty of God's creation out there. So that is my bucket list travel item.
Great. It's good to have all of you back together. As we looked at our first email this week, we saw that Paul started by talking about the sameness of our spiritual gifts. You know, they have a common source, have a common value, and a common goal. Maybe everybody pick one of those and talk about what that means to you, how it plays out as you work together with others in your congregation. Naomi, you want to get us started?
Sure. You know, I think before I read the devotion, if you would have asked me, like, what is the common source that we all have for our spiritual gifts? And I think I would have not given that very much thought. I would have just, I usually imagine a tree and there's one big trunk and roots, and then everything is bearing fruit in different kinds of branches and whatnot. And so I see that kind of this common source and how we're all united in Christ. And that's kind of how I'd always imagined that. And then the strength comes from the word. So we're all getting it from the same place. But I have to say, when I read Christy's devotion, and she actually just made the comment that it's God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there was this distinction. All of a sudden, in thinking about the persons of the Trinity, it occurred to me, what happens if I think about the common source being the farmer? And what if he is the one who plants seeds and cultivates and grows, and that there's a little bit more tender nurturing and planting a specific seed and having an intentional area that would grow a specific something or other. And so that was kind of fascinating for me to just maybe personify God a little bit more in that. It made it a little bit more personal and intimate as he's designing gifts and designing where he's going to put them and how he's going to use them. And so thanks, Christy, because that really gave me some good thoughts, and I enjoyed that.
Thanks. I appreciate that. I love your farmer analogy. I think that's really cool. And I am going to take it in a different direction in terms of when human farmers plant things, we don't always like all of the crops. I know there's some vegetables that I like and some that I don't, and I am partial to some things and not others. And that's not true with our spiritual gifts. So it's kind of the opposite of that analogy as well. All of them have the same value. They are all valuable to God. They are all gifts that we can use to work together to build up the body of Christ. So it is one where it isn't like broccoli is good and corn is bad. The spiritual gifts are going to play out differently in different settings in the congregation. Some of them are maybe going to be more useful in some situations, and others are going to be more useful in other situations, but they all have that common value. And the reason, this goes back to the source, right? They all have that common value because they do all come from the same farmer, from our good and perfect God who gives us these gifts and says, all of you are my children and all of the gifts I have given you are of value. So thanks for the analogy. That let me play a little bit further.
Well, no, now I have to pick up on that because I have a neighbor who is a lovely gardener. And so whereas I would lean always towards planting vegetables and growing vegetables, because why would you want something that's not productive and useful, you know, she has just glorious flowers and marvels in them. And so I'm thinking, you know, sometimes God plants flowers too. And he puts, we had talked last week about women of beauty and that essence that they bring. And so that there are places that God puts people just to bring refreshment. And I think that does also fit that picture of every one of us is a little different and serves a purpose. So
absolutely. And those have different purposes, but they both still serve purpose. Yes,
absolutely.
The purpose is that the farmer is the one who not only receives the enjoyment, but gets the glory for his wisdom in planting. And what a beautiful picture of the goal that we all have as part of God's planting, to glorify him in everything that we do, every way that we do, every difference that we have, to bring him honor, to point to Jesus, to live according to the Spirit. And it's not that I, as a broccoli or a flower, have intentions of glorifying myself, but instead point to God. And so everything that I do in my serving, every action, every intention that I have is to glorify God. And it's not about my glory. It's not about bringing honor to me, but rather to him. And every bit of it is to accomplish what he intends to accomplish in his kingdom, because it's his kingdom. It's his garden, if we're going to go back to the farmer analogy.
I think bringing it back into the, you know, into the text and talking about some of those spiritual gifts, you really can see how God has spread them out and how you have different gifts. And it is a blessing to have a variety of gifts in a congregation, in a home, wherever that is. And just understanding again, that oneness and that value, the goal, all of these things we've just been talking about, what a blessing that is to the church, to the kingdom of God, like you said, Dawn.
And I think when you think about the goal that God has for his kingdom, I, as a part of that, am not going to know the final product or the big picture of it. That's up to God. And he has his intention that he carries out. And that's going to best be accomplished if I, as a person in his kingdom, am willingly and actively living out what he intended in by using them in the way that he saw best to give to me for his kingdom's glory.
And Dawn, I think that's so important what you just said. We are not called to see how all of this is going to play out. We're not called. We talked a couple of weeks ago about how sometimes we wanted to be the one to fix things, or that's not our calling. Our calling is to faithfully live out, to use our spiritual gifts in whatever setting God has put us in. We don't have to be responsible for the big picture. We don't have to be responsible for seeing how all of this is going to come together. We are just called to use the spiritual gifts that God has given us in service to our congregation, to the kingdom, in the best way that we possibly can. And that's enough. That's where we are called to serve.
And it gets a little scary, right? Because since I don't know what the final product is, I can, you know, walk on the line of, I might be taken advantage of, you know, my gifts might be overused, or I need to save them for myself. And just being and living out what God intended for us brings so much joy, even when it's scary. You know, I'm thinking of the idea that we walk by faith, just trusting our Heavenly Father and what his good intentions for his kingdom are.
I think that's so true, Dawn. The other thing that I was really thinking about is how much it does help us then when we're using our gifts to see the big picture, and to remember how important that God's work is. And again, that I'm not taking my gifts and using them in a way that I think is good for me or what I think is best. I think that that helps too, as we're adding it to kingdom work and keeping that focus too.
The other thing I was going to add is that I think I've run into a number of times is people not using their gifts, but thinking that, well, there are plenty of other people that will use their gifts, so my gifts aren't needed. And to just be able to have that in mind that God's given, because God has given this gift to you, he wants you to use it and to use it in the church because, well, not only in the church, but just in his kingdom in general, because you have that gift. And to use those gifts because, yeah, other people might not. Well, he's just given that gift to you so that you can use it. So to have that that confidence of God's given this to me so I can use it. One of the other points that the email brought up was just how, even as we look at those gifts and how we use them in churches and in our congregations, a lot of times we tend to divide along gender lines. Devotion pointed out that it can be both good and bad. Maybe let's just rehash that a little bit. How can that be good? How might that cause us to miss some things or how might that be bad in our congregations?
Well, I know for me as a woman, it has been extremely good when I've had opportunity to gather with other women in conversation, in Bible study, in working, in serving, because there's such a commonality of just who we are as women. I think I wouldn't know half as much about what to expect as far as aging or being a mother or all of the things that are unique to women and they get to experience in life if I wouldn't have had those women in my life letting me know what to expect or been able to have the opportunity to share with younger women, hey, here's what's coming up. The ability to laugh and enjoy each other. And I think that that has been so important. I've also particularly enjoyed studying scripture with women and the unique perspective that comes from a woman's point of view when we take a look at what God's word has to say, or when we comfort or encourage or share with others insights that we've been given from a woman's perspective. I think that that is so important because God did create us in a very unique and separate way. And to lose that and say that it isn't important is detrimental. And I think we're seeing that play out in our society today.
Dawn, you just brought up something that I don't know how often I give voice to, but when you come at it in a group of women from that commonality that you share the sense of commonality, I personally feel so much freer to talk or share personal experiences or even maybe be a little more vulnerable. And anybody knows me who knows me knows I have no problem speaking my mind, none whatsoever. I feel like telling you something, I'm going to tell you. But there's just a difference when I'm in a group of women versus when I'm in a mixed group, especially talking about spiritual matters or studying the word. It's just less threatening, more opening, and it's me probably more than anyone else. But just that commonality gives me more permission to be open and vulnerable and share. And that's sometimes something that I really need and don't always get other than in a same gender group. So that's one of the benefits that I see as well.
Well, I'll take the other side of it because while I totally agree with everything you said and I see the value, I think it's essential that we have opportunities to come together as women and do that nurturing and have that vulnerability and honesty, talk about things that are maybe difficult or very personal. I think also that though there is a disadvantage if we don't find time to be in the word with our brothers. And that it is different. It oftentimes has we don't linger quite as much over things, maybe when you're in a Bible study with men. But I agree with you, Christy, it does feel a little different, and yet it's good. I think sometimes of the opportunities that I have had to be in Bible studies with pastors or professors or just, you know, even men from our congregation, and that they do bring a unique perspective. And there is a great deal that I learn about them and about Christian faith in general when I hear a man talk about some of the, you know, how a man is seeing this or what they're thinking about type of thing. But the other thing too I've seen is that it really, it's helping build that connection that if we do too many things that are divided by gender lines, then we don't get to know each other and we don't get to interact and build that relationship. And I think sometimes men don't really realize how women think. And so sometimes when we're in those opportunities, it's a great opportunity to build the relationship. I guess that's one of the things that I see as an advantage of being together. There's not a right and a wrong. I think there's certainly a place for both.
That is absolutely what I wanted to say, that it is a both and. It is absolutely a both and. It's not an either or. It's not either we are going to have a women's Bible study or we are going to have a mixed Bible study. Nope, both. It should be a both and because of both of the benefits, pros and cons that we've talked about. And it extends beyond Bible studies too, right? Naomi, you just touched on this. In my work setting, in my setting at WLC, my department is entirely female. It's a really interesting situation for a math department to be entirely female. And then when I work as communication coordinator at my local congregation, I work with male pastors. And so it's just really interesting to see the differences in those two working environments and the differences in what strengths I use in different situations and how different people complement each other as well. So I think it brings out different aspects of each of us as well and helps us to more fully use our spiritual gifts when we come together, both along gender lines and then differently as well.
I am 100% agree with the both and God designed it the way he designed it for a reason. I think every opportunity that I've had to be in a mixed group or have partnerships that are, you know, both genders, I have the ability to learn something new and different about the opposite gender that helps me fight some of those stereotypical ideas that are out there, because I see a different nuance that a particular gentleman brings to the meeting or to the situation or to the conversation. And I learn so much and see something that I didn't know. And if we stay so with one gender and one side and one view of things, those stereotypes, the negative stereotypes, I should say, that are broad strokes and really, I almost feel like demean the individual character that God gives to each one of us in our uniqueness. We lose that. And I have thoroughly enjoyed getting to see a broad spectrum of the masculinity that God has given to men in all of its various shapes and ways and how it comes out in my opportunities to work with the opposite gender.
It's kind of neat when you begin to see and understand just how God gifts his children in his church, both the richness and the variety of those gifts and how you have this broad spectrum spread across his kingdom. And it just, it gets to be really neat that how that all begins to play out and how we get to not only learn from each other and how those and learn from the gifts that other people have, but how God uses the gifts that he gives to other people as a blessing to us as well. Maybe Christy, could you give us a quick picture of where we are going with the second devotion this week and where our discussion will be taking us later?
We are heading into, okay, we have these spiritual gifts. We know they have a common goal. What happens when you, as a woman, feel like you have spiritual gifts that your church says, nope, you can't use these? How do we change that conversation? How do we navigate that? And that's what we're going to be looking at the second half of the week.
So hope you'll come back and join us later this week as we dig into, how we use those gifts and change the conversation about that. Thanks for joining us for today's conversation and look forward to talking through it all with you in just a few days.